John chapter 14. Now, we began last week with a few verses here and try to preach to you the thought that we had on the way that we know. John chapter 14, verse 1 said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, that's, I'll go back to verse 4 for the thought that we had upon our heart for this last couple of weeks and on the way that we know. We mentioned last week, of course, the person of that way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of that way. It's by promise and by a provision and by a precious position that God has given to us as His children, saved by God's wonderful grace. So it's a good way. It's a wonderful way. Jesus made the way because He simply said, "I am the way." And so we know that that's a good way today because of what He has done. We know it personally because of our personal relationship with our Lord. Now, we know it's a good way because of our fellowship with Him. Not only our relationship, but our fellowship that we have with Him every day. And so it's a good way, the way that we know. It's a way that provides a better place that we have in this world than this world today. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So it's a good way today, the way that we know in this life today. So it's a wonderful way. And there in John chapter 15, we want to go over to that today for the thought that we have today. And John chapter 15, of course, we notice he begins to talk about a way that we know. Now, we mentioned last week, of course, we have the intimacy of being a servant of God, a son of God, not just a servant, but a son of God, that we have and fellowship and relationship with Him. And so that brings us to a place of relationship. We have, as a part of the body of Christ, we that are saved by His wonderful grace, we've got a wonderful fellowship with our Lord. So it's a good way that we're in today. The way that we know is a way of separation. Verse 18, the Bible said, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." So here we find it's a way of separation. You'll find in this verses here that he talks about that we're not of the world. We have been saved out of this world. We've not been taken out of it. We're still in the world, but we're not of the world today. And so there's a place that we have in this world today. We have been came out of this world. We do not belong in this world. In my Father's house, He said, are many mansions. And so we've got a place to go to. And we have a place that we have experienced the blessings of knowing that we that are saved by the grace of God. But Jesus said, there's a way, and we came out of this world. We came out from this world. We're not out of it, but we're not of it. And so there's a way, and we find here that when we came out of this world, we just do not belong where we are today. This is not our home, and so we've got a better place. And we do not belong in the world because we are not of that world, and so we're thought to be strangers to those that's in this world world today. Now, to you and I, the relationship we have with our Lord, we find that we look at people that are not living for the Lord or not saved by God's grace, and we think those are strange because of the way that they're living. And they look at us and they say, it's really strange the way that they're living. They think us strange. And so we've got that life that we live with our Savior, and so we find that they think, well, that, you know, they're just sort of strange the way that they live. They're not doing what we're doing. They're not going where we're going. They are not doing the things that we are doing today. And so the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4, notice what Peter said about that. The Bible said, now let's begin reading in verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, and for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And then he said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, and wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now, there's the attitude of the world today toward a child of God that's been saved and they've been called out of this world and not of this world, but here we live, living a life for the Lord Jesus, saved by God's grace, enjoying the fellowship of God, and yet they look at us as strange because we don't live like we used to live. And so there's the strangeness of this world. As they look at us and they think we're strange, and they think us, well, that we have just do not act like they act. And that's the way it ought to be. And we look at them and wonder, why don't they get saved? Why don't they live for the Lord? Why don't they see the goodness of the grace of God in our lives, and that they could enjoy being saved by God's grace, enjoy going to church, enjoying the fellowship of God's people. But they look at us and they say, well, it's strange, because they're not living like we live. They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. There was a day when we walked according to the will of the Gentiles. We lived in lasciviousness. We lived in the lust of our flesh, the excess of the wine, the revelings and banquetings and abominable heresies, idolatries. That's exactly where that we used to live. But now those things are strange to us, because they're different from the way that we live. So the best way to live today is a way that can give you peace and can give you satisfaction of loving your Lord and loving your family, loving your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's the best way that we live today. And so what's really strange, and because, you know, the way that God established in our lives, He established a good way. It's a good way because it's God's way. And you see, there's a way, and when we listen, why is it really strange in this world today? Because there's a way that God established in the Garden of Eden. God established a good way. And Adam and Eve was there, and they had never sinned, and they was living in fellowship with the Lord, and they was walking every day in the garden in the cool of the day and enjoying the fellowship that they had with Him. But then sin came along, and Satan came along, and they fell from the state that they were in. And what did God do? God established righteousness. We didn't think up this way that we're living today. It's God's way. Amen. It's God's way. And God established righteous living, and because that's the way God is. And God's never sinned. And God's never committed sin. And my friend, God is a God that expects us to live the same way way that he is. And so God established this righteousness. Before you think it too strange about those that are saved and living for the Lord and going to church and enjoying the blessings of God, remember this. God established righteousness. It's what God established. It's not what man thought of. It's what man established. And man in his own ways run from God. And man in his own ways rebelled against God. And man in his own ways established his own righteousness and tried to satisfy God with what he was doing. And when Cain and Abel was there, Cain slew Abel because Cain was trying to establish his own way over the ways of the Lord. But I tell you, it's God's ways today, and God has established righteousness, and that God gave the commandments. It's God that told us how to live and what not to do, and why should we go against God? It's the best way to live, and because in the ways of the Lord, and there's blessings, and there's wonderful opportunities, and to get others saved, and by God's wonderful grace, it's a great way to live. And so God established this way, and God set it up this way. Why go against the Lord when God set it all up? And God gave the commandments, and God sets the standards. It's God that sets those standards. It's not you and I that does that, but it's God. Just live like God's book said to live. And brother, that's the way God set it up. He not only practiced that way, but he also wrote it down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they penned down the Word of God. And we know today it's the best way to live because it's God's given way. It's a way that God gives. And so listen, who gave man the right or the authority to change all that? It's not up to us to change what God has established, what God has set the standard for, and what God said is right. It's not up to us to change that. And God is the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forevermore. It's God's ways and not our ways. And so listen, that's what brings about separation. We don't live like we used to live. We don't go where we used to go. We don't talk like we used to talk. We don't do the things that we used to do. Why? Because God's ways are so much better today. Today, I've experienced the blessings of God in my life. I've been on both sides of the fence. I know what it is to be lost. I know what it is to be saved. And put them two together, I'd rather be saved by God's wonderful grace than to live this world like it is today. I'd rather just go God's ways. And so who gave man the authority to try to change the way that God has set it up? And when someone tries to get you run to the same excessive right that they're running with and try to get you to go to the places they're going and to do what they're doing, and they're just simply saying God's ways are not good enough, and that's what they're trying to say. But I tell you, they're talking to the wrong person when they're talking to a child of God, because we know what relationship is, and we know what fellowship is, and we know what God has given to us, and we enjoy the blessings of those wonderful days of fellowship with our Lord. Now listen, today we're not getting to go to church like we want to go, because Jesus died for the church and gave himself for the church. He set up the local assemblies and put it in place and gave men the courage and he gave men the grit and to take a stand against sin. And brother, preach a word of God. They went through the fire. They were killed. They were burned at the stake and they suffered many things, and they get together with their Lord in fellowship with the saints of God. And that's what God has established, and that what God recognizes. And we've gone a long time and without having to get to go to church, but the day is soon coming once again we can gather together and worship God together. That'll be a glorious day. Amen. And the sobers have the way that God established. But who gave man the right to change a way that we live? Did God give any rights to change the Word of God as we know it today?
today. And so there's a lot of things that man has put his hands upon that he had no business dealing with. And that, brother, my friend, that's God's commandments. That's God's ways. That's God's word. And that's God's church. And brother, we've got to the Lord today to help us. And so there's a lot of ego-inflated men that have stepped up, and those theologians that have seemingly have their authority, have to change what God has written down, and they changed the Bible, and they've taken out verses and chapters of the Bible, and my friend, they have changed it to their ways. And who gave them the right to do that? Man has took on himself things that God does not recognize. And we've got a copy of the Bible for every generation. This Bible has been preserved for every generation, and we've got it today. The King James Bible is still good, as it always has been. And my friend, there's men that are doing that today. They do that by sounding so religious, and they do that by sounding so deep, and God hadn't given them the authority to change the Word of God. And then, my friend, those preachers that follows them around, and brother, uses their Bibles and changes their scriptures, and they take all kind of versions and try to say that they're following the Lord. That's not right, amen. Who gave man the right to change what God has given to us to practice the Word of God? God has given us a Bible and preserved it for us, and men went before us and gave their lives to have the Scriptures as we have it today. So there's a lot of things going on in life today. And so listen, and one good thing to think about, we ought to quit judging your Bible by a commentary written by uninspired men, and judge your commentary by your Bible. Amen. Judge your commentary by your Bible. Men takes a book and they read the book some man has written, and they judge their Bible by what they found written in that book. I tell you the best way to do it, take your Bible and judge that commentary. Amen. And then you'll lay it aside. And so there's a lot of things we're seeing happen today. And so God, listen, God inspired a Bible, and this Bible was written by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so listen, the Word of God, nobody gave them the right to change the God-breathed book to something that's unnecessary and that's impotent, and brother, one that can and that man can take and get misled with. We need the Bible today, and we need it preached from the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Now, God didn't give us the right to change this. So they're the strange ones. They look at us. You carry a King James Bible in the average church today, they look at you like you're funny. Amen. But I tell you, the Bible is still the Word of God. I'm still going to preach it. I'm still going to practice it. I'm still going to, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to preach with it and preach against the others. And I tell you, and they are the strange ones, and they think they're strange, and they make fun of you if you use the Bible to preach the Word of God. I know church folks that make fun of old time preaching. I've seen it happen. And there's the things that happen. So, and this Bible don't need to be changed. It just needs to be believed. It needs to be preached by the holy men of God as they take the Scripture, called men of God. And so there's a way of separation that God has given to us. Don't change God's book. Believe God's book. Don't change your way of living as a more liberal way of living, but change your ways according to what this Bible has got to say. And we've got a right to do that because gave us the authority. When God called His men, He gave them the authority to preach the Word of God, to protect the Word of God, to proclaim the Word of God. God gives us the authority to do that by His holy call that God put upon His men's lives. Those men today, we know those men from past generations, and that have gave their life for the preaching of the Word of God. They have died a martyr's death many times for preaching the Word of God. We've got Christians today on foreign soil in many countries has never reported that are being killed for the testimony of the Word of God. That's happening today. But it's a way of separation. We're different from this world. We're not supposed to go about it with our head in the air and our chest stuck out and say that we're so different and that we're so righteous and we're so different. That's not the way that we do it. Brother, we're different because of our nature. We don't go about with a self-righteous attitude and refuse to live like Jesus lived. Brother, Jesus was righteous, but he loved the sinner. And he took a stand against these things. Jesus did. And one thing that Jesus always did, when he quoted the Word of God, he quoted it verbatim for though it was written in the Old Testament. Jesus, he did not change it. He didn't rearrange it. He just quoted the Scriptures because he knew the Scriptures. And he didn't have to change it because God wrote it to start with. Amen? And so that God-inspired book that God given us, we're not to change the Word of God. And brother, we just to simply have to read it and preach it and believe it and live by it. But the separation comes when you fail to live and by the world standards that they've set up in this world. And if you're not like them, they think you strange. And they think it's not right for you to live a separated life and deny yourself from going to the sins of this world, and that we have no business with to start with, that a child of God has pleasure in separating himself from the sins of this world. So we've got that life to live. And so listen, it's a way that we know. It's a way our forefathers, great men of God, a lot of them dying out today, and even further back than our forefathers, men of God live for the Lord. They preach the Word of God. They love the Scriptures. They proclaim the Scriptures. And brother, they stood for the right way. And we've got that heritage that God has given to us from those that went before us. And they've lived for the Lord. And they believed the Scriptures. And they backed the church. And they backed the men of God. And brother, they stayed true and given us a heritage that we can believe and stand with. And so it's a way that God has established, and what's wrong with living that way? Amen. They think us strange. Think us strange. We don't go with them to the same excessive rite. Think it's strange you partake of what things that they're partaking of. But I tell you, it's a good way. It's a good way. Now, I was not only this, but it's a way of separation. Let's go to the second thing today. But it's a way, it's a way of persecution. It's a way of persecution. Now, chapter 15. In verses 20, the Bible said, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Now remember that the servant is not greater than his Lord. We're serving God. And if we're serving our Lord, we have no right to expect anything else except what our Lord experienced. He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Amen. He said, if they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. What's for Jesus' sake? Amen. It's because of him that we're persecuted today. If you're made fun of, it's not because that you're living for the Lord because of your ways. It's because you're persecuted because you're living according to his ways. We don't persecute people that don't live like we live righteously. We pray for them. We love them, and we try to reach them for the glory of God. But I tell you, those out there will persecute a child of God because Jesus suffered persecution. You can expect that you and I will suffer the same persecution. The Bible simply said this one verse, and this is all I really need. He said, if any man would live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. And so the way that we know is the way of persecution. Get used to it. They don't like you, get used to it. Has lived for the Lord, because if they don't like you, the Lord does. You've got the right attitude toward them, and you're not living a self-righteous, better than the attitude of your nose and your ear, but you're living before them, living with them, and showing them the right way. You're loving them, you're praying for them, and though you're ridiculed, though you're made fun of, yet you pray for them, and brother, God will reach their hearts through your continued spirituality, and not because you're better than them, but because God has been good to you and gave you righteousness through him. So it's because of him. Because of him. So in this verse here, in verses 19, because of him that we have chosen you, therefore the world hateth you. And verses 20, and so if they persecute me, they'll also persecute you. if they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. And verses 22, the Bible said, notice one thing here, their sins is revealed. Sin. Well, let's back up to verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you. All these things will they do unto you. They're going to do some things to you. You say, well, somebody talked about me. So what? They didn't whip you. They didn't get a club and beat you. They didn't get the cat of nine tails and strap you back. I mean, there's a lot of things that could make folks quit today. But I'm telling you, a child of God that's living for the Lord may get persecuted. But we've never suffered like our Lord did. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you also. All these things will they do unto you. Listen to this now. For my name's sake. Now this is Jesus talking. For my name's sake. You can do it. He are doing it to you for my name's sake. When they ridicule you, it's for Jesus' sake. When they persecute you, it's because of Him. It's because of Him. Because He's living in us. And He's the one that governs our actions and controls our lives. And the Spirit of God that lives within us gives us the courage and the fortitude to take a stand for God. That's what makes us different and strange in this world. Even just by God's mercy. Weren't for the mercy and grace of God, we'd be just like everybody else. And God has given us grace and given us mercy. So notice this now in verse 21. Because they know not Him that sent me. Because they're doing that to those that are saved or ridiculing the saints of God because of their living for the Lord. Because, and he said in that last part of that, because they know not Him that sent me. They don't know God and the free pardon of sin. That's where ridicule comes from. Because they simply do not know. They simply do not know. And so listen now, not only that, but notice this. That not only that because of Him, but sins reveal. Their sin is revealed, the way of persecution. And they're persecuting because their sins have been revealed and brought to light. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. What did Jesus do when He came in His godly life? He pulled a cloak off of sin. That's exactly what God's people does when they live for the Lord. And listen, don't give a covering for that sin. And that's what Jesus did. But their sin was revealed by the Lord. Because of Him we know what sin is. And the contrast between Jesus and the world is vastly different because He's righteous and the world is unrighteous. That's what it's all about. The way of persecution come because sin has been revealed to their lives. And they're rebuked because of that. They feel bad because of that. And they ought to be. That's the reason God did it. That He might draw them to God. How did Adam and Eve feel when Jesus came, when God came down in the cool of the day and tried to find them? They run from God. They got away from the Lord and hid themselves because their ways had become the world's ways. They fell from that state, and sin separated them from God. But listen, sin is revealed, and then we find something else in these verses here today. There's something else in these verses I want you to notice. Not only is sin revealed here, but I want you to notice now, He said hate is revealed in these verses. Verses 23, the Bible said, He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. So those that hate Jesus would hate God. Now there it is. Now, who do we belong to? We belong to God. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs with Jesus. So therefore, we're in the same family. We're in the same family. And so listen to what he's saying here. And so here, the Bible said, hate is revealed. And he that hated me, hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And Jesus said in the next verse, they hated me without a cause. There's no reason to hate God. There's no reason to hate God. And so the Bible gives us very much what we need to know today. The way that we know. It's a way of persecution. Child of God, somebody made fun of you. That's something to shout about. That's something to rejoice about. He said, when they speak evil of you, He said, rejoice, because they did that to me also. And so we've got a way that only God can give us grace to live for. It's a joyful way. I look you in the eye today and tell you the best way I've ever lived in my life is the way of the Bible, the way of God's Word. I fail, I falter, I have to get sins, I have to get forgiveness of failures and faults along the way. But I'm telling you what, I got up and kept going the same direction I was going. It's always good to get forgiven. And that daily cleansing we talked about last week, that daily cleansing, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our past sins. It cleanses us from our present sins by daily cleansing us. Daily we wash our feet, we wash our hearts in the Word of God. And all the future sins, we rest in that when we do fail in the future, we know God will forgive us. Not because we're sinning deliberately or willingly, but we're sinning ignorantly. And so there's the forgiveness. Only God can give that forgiveness today. So I'm telling you today, the way that we know is a way of persecution. It's a way of separation. Because of our separated way, I'm not doing what the world does. They do not like us. They do not care for our way of living. They run from it. But until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them, then they start looking for the right way. God bless you is our prayer. Until next time.